Welcome back to Gaelic Games Fan TV. I'm joined here by Sean Casey from the Sideline Eye podcast. We're here to preview the Armagh footballers for the upcoming 2024 inter-county football season. We're running through Armagh in the league, running through Armagh in the championship as well, and obviously be reviewing Armagh in great detail in terms of how things went in 2023. Sean, I was chatting to you off air there. You're keeping well and all the rest. Are you excited for inter-county football to come back? Only a couple of weeks away now, really.
Yeah, only a couple of weeks on. Kenna Cup starts up here on the 3rd of January, so looking forward to it. Armagh got a very tough group. They've Donegal up first and then Tyrone, so two nice games to break into the new year. But yeah, looking forward to getting it started again. It doesn't belong swinging back into action.
Absolutely, yeah. Where do you stand on pre-season competitions? I mean, I think the McKenna Cup in general has a lot of, you know, like, I remember last year, I think it was sold out, and obviously a lot of fans going to it. I suppose Ulster, very, very competitive. But I know in Leinster and even Munster and at times Connacht, there isn't really much of a fuss about pre-season competitions. But how is it in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, funny. Armagh played Antrim in the first round last year, and I think it was 4,000 or 5,000, and the Athletic Grounds went to see it. And there was maybe Armagh just sort of used it as, you know, the regular boys, the likes of Urien O'Neill's, Rory Grugan's, them sort of boys got maybe a half in each game or something. And, you know, there was a load of young boys. I think Armagh maybe used 35 players in the McKenna Cup last year. So everybody seems to be happy enough with it, Aaron. Like, it's not the be-all and end-all, but just even at the McKenna Cup launch last week, speaking to a few of the players, and that was one of the questions I put to them, like, how do players feel about the McKenna Cup on pre-season? And everybody sort of said, it's competitive football at this time of year, like it beats training. So I think everybody sort of feels that way. Like it's nice to get seeing inter-county football before the league starts, and maybe seeing who's catching the eye, a couple of young boys coming through on that. So yeah, I'm on board for it anyway. It gives me something to do during the early part of the year.
100%, 100%. Yeah, now look, it is inter-county football, and I suppose there is matches and games to be seen and everything else. And I suppose that's what we want to see as football fans. I suppose looking back at last year, maybe first of all, before sort of breaking into things this year, like, what's the general vibe like around Armagh football right now? Obviously, Kieran McGeaney staying on for another year, which I know sort of caused a bit of debate in terms of, should he be kept on, should he leave? What's the vibe like around Armagh football right now?
Yeah, there was a bit of debate, I suppose, after the Monaghan game, Aaron, but then once the club delegates on the county board took the vote, there was really no debate. It was a landslide victory, really, for Kieran McGeaney to stay on board. And I think when it comes down to it, you're looking around seeing, well, if you get rid of Kieran McGeaney, who's taking it on, who's going to do better than he has done? Because I think, like, a lot of people have to understand, like, Armagh were in a really bad place when Geezer come in, sort of Division 3, couldn't get out of Division 3, and had to go back down to it a couple of times. And, you know, Kieran has took them down to the final for the first time in 15 years, back-to-back quarterfinals for the first time since 2006. So it's positive. Obviously, fans want silverware, and I suppose when we're looking ahead to this year, that's probably going to be the big thing. The league is a good chance to do that, and obviously Ulster as well. The Ulster draw couldn't have failed much better for Armagh. I know we'll get into that maybe in a wee bit more detail, but yeah, I suppose in terms of Kieran McGeaney, there's no obvious candidate to replace him. So I think everybody was just, if there was nobody there that was going to guarantee that was going to do better than Kieran McGeaney, then you would be jumping the gun to get rid of him, definitely. But in terms of the mood around Armagh, at the end of last season, after Galway in Croke Park, the mood was very high. Everybody was delighted with how Armagh's season went. Couldn't wait to 2023. And just the way the Monaghan game ended, another penalty defeat, the third in, you know, 12 months, it probably ended a wee bit flat for Armagh, and a wee bit of, there's frustration there too, I suppose. But I think they're going in the right direction. I think Kieran has got them to where he wants. When you think of the team now and looking ahead the next year, there's maybe 5 or 6 near guarantees that weren't there in 2023 just from injuries and that. So things are looking good for him, and hopefully Division 2 is a chance to maybe win some silverware.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, I suppose it's especially with Kieran McGeaney, like as you were saying, like there probably wasn't too many outstanding candidates. But where did you stand on McGeaney? Like, were you happy to keep him staying on, or what was your kind of take on it?
Yeah, I was happy for him. I wanted him to stay on again. Like, if you have a Jim Galvin or Jim McGuinness coming out and saying, I want the Armagh job, then that's a different story. But you know, when there's nobody, if there's nobody going to improve it, then I wouldn't be getting rid of Kieran McGeaney in a rush. Like, there's a lot of background stuff maybe that people don't see as well in terms of the academy and the development and everything like that, that Kieran has a big role to play in. I suppose it's easy just to judge Armagh on 70 minutes or over 70 minutes on a penalty shootout, but when they've been so close on three occasions, the Galway game last year, Derry this year and Monaghan, I just felt it would be jumping the gun a wee bit to get rid of him. I think this is a big year for him in saying all that. I think this, if it doesn't go well this year, if there's not, I'm not even talking about silverware, but like the Monaghan game, I think just frustrated a lot of people last year that Armagh maybe on paper feel that they've better players than Monaghan and maybe just set up to suit Monaghan's style more so than going after it and playing their own game. So I think this year is a big year for Kieran McGeaney and for this Armagh team. But yeah, I wouldn't have been getting rid of him unless Jim Galvin was coming in. But that's very unlikely, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you never know, to be fair. I mean, we saw Jim McGuinness, to be fair, go back to Donegal. But whether Jim Galvin would go to Armagh, I mean, who knows? It's, you know, stranger things have happened. I suppose Mickey Hart has gone to Derry, so I don't think anybody would have saw that coming at the start of the year. But yeah, like, it was interesting, all right, with Armagh, because like, actually, like, I was looking through the league just before we started and looking through the championship again just to sort of remind myself. And as you were saying, like, obviously a lot of noise maybe around Armagh after the defeat to Monaghan, but when you actually look at it, it actually wasn't that bad, I don't think. Like, because even in the league, like, I was looking at it there, 2 wins, a draw, 4 defeats, 5 points, and even some of the defeats were very narrow, like the 1-point loss to Kerry. I suppose the defeats to Roscommon and Galway were maybe a little bit disappointing overall, but... And then I suppose in the championship, as you said, like beating on penalties against Derry, beating on penalties against Monaghan, like, yeah, it's unfortunate, really, in some ways. Like, the penalties thing is a weird one, because 3 penalty shootouts, 3 defeats, and it's like, it's either desperately unlucky or I don't know, something else is going on. It's all a bit mad.
Yeah, and like, there was I think it was 2022 in the McKenna Cup semi-final, maybe. Monaghan actually beat Armagh on penalties in Athletic Grounds as well, so that's 4 penalty shootout defeats in whatever the space of 2 years there. So I don't know, like, if you're talking to any of the players or interviewing Kieran a couple of times after the matches, like, they do practice them, and obviously their penalty takers, the likes of Rian O'Neill, Rory Grugan, Supi Campbell, like, they're all penalty takers for their clubs, they're all deadly forwards. So I don't know if it's nearly a mental thing at this stage, like, particularly that Monaghan one was just, and it seemed to go on forever too, like, it was desperate, and Monaghan just, Conor McManus, Kieran Hughes, Micheál Bonegan, just slotting them into the top corner, bottom corner, like, it was, I don't know, it was brilliant drama for a neutral probably, but from an Armagh perspective, it's nearly a mental thing at this stage, you would feel, or not, you know, you'd rather beat nearly by a point in extra time than having to go through all that again. But when you're getting beat on penalties, like, you're there, you're within, you know, seconds of when, like, that Monaghan game, basically Armagh had the game won, only McManus won the free at the end. Like, it was, I don't know, it's inches, like the Kieran McGeaney would talk about that inches speech. It was inspirational for Armagh 2002. Like, it's literally inches Armagh are away at this stage, and it's just trying to get over that line now is the big thing for them this year.
Yeah, like, because that's the thing. Like, even the penalty shootouts themselves, like the penalty shootout defeat to Monaghan and even Derry. Like, I think the one against Galway, maybe there was a couple of misses early on, and I suppose in terms of a penalty shootout win, Galway maybe won it a bit comfortably. But the Derry one and even the Monaghan one, as you said, like, it was, yeah, like, they didn't do a whole lot wrong, really. It was just Monaghan were just, you know, far more superior and far more better. Like,
yeah, I've seen a couple of people saying maybe about Ethan Raverty in goal, that because Armagh didn't have a natural goalkeeper in goal. But then Monaghan ones, like, the mad thing was I would say Ethan guessed right about 90% of the time, but they were just perfect penalties. They were tucked right into the corner, and McManus, he put his into the top two corners, like on his two penalties. So yeah, there's not a whole pile more. I don't know how much you can practice them or how you can repeat the atmosphere and the tension and the pressure and everything in training. Like, it's never going to be the same. And you know, they're so close. And I think the penalty shootout defeats just sort of show that. But it's just getting that, maybe that wee bit of luck, maybe that wee bit of 1% that will get them over the line. But how you get it, I have no idea.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, I'll just run through a few comments here. Keane says, Armagh are real contenders for league and championship honours in 2024, but their discipline needs to improve. Paul says here, thing is the last few years, consistency has begun before 2022. You'd always be afraid we'd be destroyed in a big game. Donegal 2020, Tyrone 2017, etc. So at least that seems to have gone. Yeah, like there definitely did seem to be maybe a bit of a shift, maybe even last year, where Armagh like seemed a lot more conservative, I thought, even at times in the league, in terms of like the score was a lot less keeping the ball, maybe for large parts. It didn't maybe seem, and I don't know whether it was because of that Galway game in 2022, where it was just a bit mad and a bit mental and a bit chaotic, and whether Geezer maybe wanted to calm things down a bit. But definitely seemed last year that things from an Armagh perspective maybe were a lot more conservative. And I know from looking at you know, Armagh fans on social media, maybe other, you know, pundits or whatever, like I think the criticism maybe was that in the Monaghan game, like Armagh maybe didn't, you know, go for their throat or sort of get after them a bit more. But what was your take on it?
Yeah, that's probably going into what I was sort of saying at the start, that frustration, the way Armagh played against Galway in 2022, like you come out on the wrong end of that in a penalty shootout, but the boys gave it all, and it was such a brilliant game of attacking football. And that's probably where the frustration come in, that Armagh did seem a wee bit more conservative against Monaghan. But I suppose the only thing is, Aaron, and I know Rory Grugan did a piece in the Irish News last week, and he was sort of saying, like, the amount of classic games Armagh have been in the last, like, 5 or 6, well, during Kieran McGeaney's reign, basically, and they've come out their own end of it. So I suppose, as a fan and maybe as a neutral, yes, you do want them to, you do want to see them playing open, attractive, free-flowing football. Everybody wants to see that, but it hasn't worked. You know, there was obviously the Galway game last year. There was the Monaghan one in 2020 or 2021, maybe, I think. There was Roscommon in Portlaoise in 2018 or 19. There's been so many classic games that Armagh have been involved in and haven't got over the line. So I suppose you have to change that at some point. And maybe that was sort of their mentality last year. But maybe just trying to find that balance a wee bit is key. Like coming up against Monaghan, you can't play man-to-man out attacking football because they're just going to hit you on the counter. You know, so it's maybe trying to find that balance of using Rain O'Neill and Andrew Mernon and Stephen Campbell, Connor Turbutt, like they've such deadly forwards, and trying to find that balance between having a really attacking force and trying to keep, you know, your best forwards up in the forward line and being solid defensively as well. So I can understand the change, but I can understand the frustration from Armagh fans as well.
Yeah, because I suppose like the game management, I suppose, was always a big issue. Like, and probably maybe still hasn't fully gone. Like, I remember against Derry, I think you were 2 points up in, you know, going down the home stretch in extra time. And then obviously Derry, I think, pulled it back to being a point up. And then obviously he went down the other end and scored the last point. So I suppose that's been the thing, maybe, is just game management down the years has been a little bit inconsistent. And I suppose if you can narrow that out, then maybe then, you know, you might be able to kick on a bit more.
Yeah, because there's a lot of experienced players in the Armagh team, but big day experience in terms of All-Ireland quarterfinals. Like, as I was saying, 2022 was the first time I think Armagh were in the All-Ireland quarterfinals since 2017, and that was they got hammered by Tyrone. So a lot of them players haven't experienced All-Ireland quarterfinals before. Now, leading into next year, a lot of them will have played in 2 or 3 All-Ireland quarterfinals. So you're hoping that big day experience counts for something, and there's a lot of experienced players in there now that have been about, you know, 10, maybe 12 years at this stage. So you're hoping that in terms of game management, they're taking learnings from the last couple of years, and that'll that will hopefully get them over the line eventually, because against Galway, I think Jamar Hall put the ball over the bar near the end and put them a point up on Galway level against Monaghan this year. Rain O'Neill scored what I thought was the last kick of the game, but Monaghan come up and scored again. So it's maybe just getting that point up and it being a wee bit more cynical or something. Maybe we've seen Dublin a couple of years ago against Mayo in the All-Ireland final when Dean Rock scored the free, and all the Monaghan Dublin forwards just dragged the Mayo defenders down to waste time and to get set up again. So maybe that's a wee bit more cynical, a wee bit more something like that from an Armagh perspective. But there's a lot of experience in that group, so I'm sure they'll work it out themselves.
Yeah, I suppose it's just that street smarts maybe or something. As you said before, like, I mean, looking at the league overall, like, because I was kind of thinking about this, and I was chatting to one of my friends the other day who's a Dublin fan, and we were even saying, like, just sort of talking about the championship as it was leading in. Like, I almost think playing in Division 2, it's actually not that, you know, maybe as bad as what it was maybe perceived to be 5-6 years ago. Like, a lot of teams in Division 2 in the last couple of years have actually gone on to have very good championships. Like, Dublin obviously played in Division 2, you know, last year or earlier in the year, went on to win the All-Ireland. Galway the season previous went on to reach the final. I think Mayo the season before that went on to reach the final, having played in Division 2 as well. And even we look at Derry, who, you know, have been sort of around Division 2 the last couple of years as well. So, like, getting relegated, like, was it that big of an issue or problem, or how did you look at it? Like, as we're saying, like, 2 wins, a draw, 5 points, like, I suppose you're only 1 or 2 points off finishing third or fourth, but at the same time, it does look like a step back, considering you'd sort of established yourselves as a Division 1 team for a couple of years there.
Yeah, I think the thing with Armagh was on the tried so hard for so long to get up to Division 1. I think when Geezer came in, he joined the Armagh team in 2014 as assistant manager. 2015, I think, they won Division 3 and went back down. They won it again in 2018, I think, and stayed in Division 2 then for a couple of years. So it was nearly the whole journey of Kieran McGeaney's tenure was to get up into Division 1 and sort of try to establish themselves. And they probably done that last year I think they finished third last year in the table, and a couple of big wins, obviously, over the likes of Dublin, Tyrone and that. So I think that was just frustration that, you know, they spent so long trying to get up there and now they're back in Division 2 again. But Division 2, yeah, it's definitely, there's a lot of hard games for Armagh in Division 2. You look at, like, Donegal with Jim McGuinness back, Meath coming off the Tailteann Cup win. Kildare, you sort of don't know how to take Kildare. And you have a couple of Ulster clashes with Donegal, Fermanagh and Cavan as well. So there's definitely not, and then I have to go to Cork the last game as well. So while you want to be in Division 1, you want to be testing yourself against them top teams, Division 2 is certainly not going to be easy for Armagh. And there's a lot of tough games in Division 2 coming up.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, especially with, obviously, Jim McGuinness coming into Donegal as well, I think it definitely adds another dimension from a Donegal perspective as well. In terms of, like, the panel or the team, like, I remember seeing Jarley O'Burns was opting out, and now he's obviously back in again. But how is it looking kind of going into the new year? Like, has there been much changes or any younger players coming in, or how has it been looking?
Probably by his coming back from injury is the big thing, Aaron, for next year. If you look at the championship team from Armagh in 2023, Oisin O'Neill missed out, Niall Grimley missed out, Tiernan Kelly, Mark Shields, Kieran O'Hanlon. There's a lot of players. I think that's 5 players there that would be in the top 20, I would say, or pushing for starting jerseys. The likes of Tiernan Kelly, probably Niall Grimley and Oisin O'Neill would be guaranteed starters nearly. So, like, having them 5 boys back, Blaine Hughes is back in as well. Goalkeeping now, whether that Ethan Raverty's obviously injured at the minute, so Blaine will see a good chunk of the McKenna Cup on the league. So whether that means Ethan is going to try to play out the field again or if he's going to stay in nets, we don't know. But there's a couple of young fellas hoping to make the breakthrough. I always think like Sashin Connolly played last year a good bit in the championship. Dar McMullen from Madden seems to be anybody you're talking to, everybody has his name on there. He's the first name that they come out with nearly is Darren McMullen. So they had a charity game there 2 weeks ago, I think, and James McCormack from Ballyhagen, he scored a hat-trick in it. So there's a few players hopefully going to make the breakthrough, but I think the big thing for them is getting everybody back, all these injured boys back, getting them all fit, getting them back into the team and keeping everybody fit and making sure that, you know, come championship that they have a full hand to pick from.
Absolutely, yeah. Paul says here as well, having Oisin O'Neill back is huge too. He was class in 2021. Yeah, I remember hearing about Oisin O'Neill, and I remember that point. I think he scored from 40 or 50 yards, I remember, one year, a couple of years ago or something. And yeah, I was kind of curious to know like what was actually going on there. But as you said, having him back and other lads back would be huge for Armagh next year.
Yeah, Oisin O'Neill's a massive boost, because the problem with Ryan O'Neill is that you want to play him in midfield on it at full forward. So having Oisin back, obviously that put him in midfield on it. It means maybe Ryan can stay inside or stay in the forward line a bit more. But Oisin's super footballer, like, he's brilliant. Has always been sort of a lot of talk about Oisin O'Neill, and maybe just in with different injuries and stuff, just hasn't fulfilled his potential. But he had a brilliant year with Cross McGlean there in the championship. He got senior club player of the year in Armagh here. So having Oisin back is a huge boost, just in around the middle of the field there, and the likes of now Grimley, Tiernan Kelly as well, sort of midfield half forward line. It's a huge boost now going forward for Armagh.
Yeah, and even looking back to that Ulster final last year, obviously against Derry, we sort of touched on it a little bit. Like, it was I suppose it was a very interesting, bit of a mad Ulster final in many ways. Like, obviously the build up to it was rather unusual with the whole Rory Gallagher scenario, and then I suppose obviously you get to an Ulster final. Like, I think the first one since 2005, I think it was the last time you won it. So, or 2008 actually, yeah. So yeah, like it was a mad occasion. Like, even looking at the fans and everything, like, there wasn't a seat empty in the house. Like, what was it like to witness it, first of all?
It was a brilliant atmosphere. Just the Armagh fans have a real great relationship with Clonus from the noughties. It was sort of their home from home during the noughties. So just getting a couple of days out in Clonus is class for Armagh fans. And they've got a few over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years. And just getting down onto the final was the big thing, I suppose, when Armagh seen the draw. They had three Division 3 teams to beat to get to the final, at Antrim, Cavan and Down. So getting to the final and being within touching distance of winning one was heartbreaking in one way, but encouraging as well that, you know, Armagh are down at the top table at the minute. Like, they're getting a draw with Derry, who are one of the favourites for the Ireland. Derry's, you know, one of the top three teams in the country at the minute, just behind Dublin and Kerry, I would say. So Armagh, they're definitely there. Like, they're definitely in with a great chance. And if you add in, you know, the five boys that I mentioned that missed out through injury, and I've possibly missed a few there that weren't available for that game too, like, it's a huge chunk of the team that weren't available. So hopefully with them boys back, and if everybody's fit and healthy, Armagh can sort of push on and hopefully get an Ulster title.
Yeah, and what did you make of Armagh's performance in general in the final as well? Because I know obviously it was a good bit back now, and it's probably maybe hard to remember. It was such an action packed game, obviously going all the way to penalties. But like, most people had Derry obviously as, I wouldn't say clear favourites, but definitely as favourites going into it anyway. Considering obviously they won the Ulster Championship the year previous, Armagh had been relegated, and I suppose Derry had a tougher route, you would say, to the final as well, having to beat the likes of Monaghan en route. So what did you make of Armagh's performance overall, and how did you think they held up to a team like Derry, who, as we saw, like, went all the way to the semi-finals and were probably actually quite unlucky to turn over Kerry that day as well?
Yeah, from memory, Armagh, I don't think they'd done a whole pile wrong. They couldn't have done much more. Maybe just at the end, that wee bit extra quality from Shane McGuigan and Conor Glass told the last couple of minutes, like, particularly Shane McGuigan, and like, James Morgan was on him at that stage, and James Morgan would be Armagh's, you know, go-to man marker. He'd be the best man marker, I would say, and Shane McGuigan just stood up and pulled Derry over the line, really, or pulled him into penalties. So just, I don't think Armagh done a whole pile wrong off the top of my head. If I studied it and maybe had a good think about it, I could come up with a list of stuff, but from memory, I don't think they've done anything too wrong. But like, just Derry had that wee bit extra, whether it be experience or know-how in tight games, whatever it is. But I just remember Shane McGuigan and Conor Glass just dragging Derry over the line, and that's a learning curve for Armagh, and that's an experience that hopefully they'll learn from.
Yeah, I think that's the thing about Derry, like even against Donegal the season previous, like they just find a way to dig themselves through pretty much. Looking at the league in 2024, as you said, obviously in Division 2, and just looking at some of the fixtures, obviously Louth at home, Meath at home, so two home games back-to-back, Kildare away, Donegal at home, Fermanagh away, Cavan home, and Cork away. So, look, I suppose on paper anyway, most people are going to have Armagh as one of the favourites, most certainly, to get out of Division 2. I think most people will be looking towards Armagh and Donegal. Obviously, it doesn't always turn out that way, you know, especially when you see the likes of, I suppose, I know Kildare and Meath have been very inconsistent in the last couple of years, but there's definitely been improvement in them. Obviously, Cork got to a quarter final themselves last year. So how are you feeling going into Division 2 next year? Is, you know, promotion on the cards?
I think so. I think that's what they'll be targeting anyway. I think the first four games will tell the tale, like, three home games out of the first four if you're collecting maximum points, hopefully, from your three home games at the start of the league, then you're well on your way. Like, but I suppose Louth and Meath, particularly Armagh, maybe don't have much recent history with them. They haven't played Meath probably 2019, maybe, when they were both in Division 2, and Louth, I'm not sure when the last time they would have played Louth. It's been a while, so in terms of recent history, there's maybe not much between the two teams, but you would hope that three out of the first four league games all at home, Armagh have a great fan base. They'll all come out in big support of this Armagh team. So hopefully if they could get a three wins from the first four games and maybe go down to Kildare, or it's actually in Kiarno, that game actually against Kildare. So if you could get first three home wins, that would set them well on their way. I think promotion is going to be the target for them.
Absolutely, yeah. Like it is, as you said. Like I suppose it's a decent fixture list. Like obviously having Donegal at home, having Meath at home. Like you'd imagine two of them will. I mean, Donegal most certainly will be a promotion contender, no doubt. And obviously getting Meath at home, I think, is a big one as well. And as you said, maybe Cork away on the final game, maybe on paper looks one of the more tricky fixtures, like in terms of your away games, but. Like fixture list wise, like I always find if you can get four home games as opposed to, you know, the four away games, then that's a massive advantage.
Yeah, it definitely helps. And just talking to a few players again, as I mentioned at the McKenna Cup launch, like I think down of four home as well. And that's nearly the first thing players go to when you ask them about the league. Like it's about the home games first. If you can get, you know, wins in your home ground, it's a real big help, and then whatever you get on the road is a bonus. So hopefully Armagh get them, particularly the first two wins. If you can get up and running with wins over Louth and Meath, that'll sort of set them on their way to hopefully gaining promotion on maybe a day out in Croke Park in a league final.
Absolutely, yeah. Like would you expect much rotation throughout the league, or do you reckon Kieran McGeaney will go relatively strong?
I think he'll go for it. I think he wants to get back into Division 1, I would imagine. But Kieran's policy seems to be that if you're doing it in training, you'll get your game time. Like, because the likes of Shane McParland last year didn't play. I think he came on against Tyrone for the last 2 minutes in the last round of the league, and then come in and started in the Championship and was a great addition in the Championship. So I think Kieran's policy is if you're doing it in training, you'll get your chance in the game. So I would imagine he'll play his best 15 every time, every week, every time he gets a chance, depending on injuries and whatever else. But if there's a few players standing out in training that maybe aren't household name or aren't well known, I'd say give them a chance and see what they're made of in a competitive game.
Yeah, definitely. Like, as you said, like you definitely want to be, I suppose, making that step sort of straight back up to Division 1, considering Armagh were, I suppose, fairly dominant, or, you know, fairly consistent in Division 1 for a couple of years there. Who else would you be thinking could come up with Armagh then? I mean, obviously a lot of people will look at Jim McGuinness and Donegal, but obviously it's the first season for his side, or first season back in charge of Donegal, so we don't know necessarily how things are going to go from the from the get-go. And as we were saying, like, it's fairly good competitive sides in there. Like, even the likes of Cavan being in there, Fermanagh, I think, are a tricky enough side. So who else would you reckon, do you think, can, you know, challenge for promotion?
Yeah, it's really tough. Donegal probably just for McGuinness back is the one that sort of jumps off the page. But Cork, hard to know really what them themselves, Kildare and Meath have probably been inconsistent the last few years. Cavan have all the talent in the world. They just don't seem to have pushed on really since the one Ulster, but they're a tricky test, and Armagh do always find them a tricky test. So I'd probably edge towards Donegal, but that's without really, that's just a guess. Maybe after two or three league games, you'll be saying that they've no chance. But just the McGuinness factor, I think that's a big help for them. So I'd say Donegal probably, Armagh, Donegal probably the two favourites to go up.
Yeah, and looking at the championship overall, then, like, what is the expectation for Armagh? And is it as easy as saying as just winning Ulster? I mean, obviously, I suppose the draw has been fairly, you know, coined again to Armagh, you would say, in another year. Like, I think you have Fermanagh obviously up first, I think it is, and then obviously the winner of that place down, or Antrim. So again, you're sort of avoiding a lot of the other big teams in Ulster, the likes of Tyrone, the likes of Donegal, the likes of Derry, Monaghan will all be on the other side of the draw. So what's the objective then overall for Armagh going into the championship next year?
Definitely getting to the final. I think they have to get to the final, like you listed off the draw that they have, and no disrespect to from all Antrim and down, but they're probably the three weakest teams in the province. And if Armagh fans were to pick a championship draw, they would have picked that, like, so definitely getting to a final. And then again, hopefully they've learned a bit from last year, hopefully getting over the line this time. But I would say inside the group, they want an Ulster title. I'd say Kieran McGeaney wants an Ulster title, but as Armagh fans, I think first and foremost, just getting to the final is the expectation, and then see who you come up against and take it from there, I suppose.
Yeah, like, Is there pressure even on Armagh, do you think? Because there always seems to be, like, even from, you know, they're obviously such a well-supported county, like, in terms of any time Armagh are playing in Croke Park, like, you know, it's an occasion, really, because the amount of fans, obviously, you bring up to Croke Park, are probably one of the best supporter teams in the country, maybe alongside the likes of, you know, Mayo, maybe, and a few others. But does that maybe bring a bit of added pressure at times as well? Because I think a lot of neutrals are nearly looking at it and thinking, if Armagh don't, I mean, obviously it's very easy to say, you know, not win an Ulster because you've so many good teams in there, in fairness, but there does seem to be a lot of pressure on Armagh a lot of the time, sort of in those big games.
Yeah, no matter what, even when Armagh were in Division 3, like, there was always talk of Armagh in Ulster, and they had obviously a terrible record in Ulster before probably last year was their first really good run. I mean, sorry, 2023 was their first real good run in Ulster. There's a pressure or an expectation around Armagh always, and I don't know if that's the Kieran McGeaney factor and people expecting them to deliver a piece of silverware, or it's just the talent that they have in their team. Like, they do have a lot of talented footballers. Maybe that adds into it as well. I'm not sure, but definitely from inside Armagh and just gathering thoughts of other people outside the county, there's a lot of pressure and expectation. But you mentioned the fans there. I'm sure Armagh players would rather, you know, bring whatever 20,000 Armagh fans to Croke Park rather than playing in front of an empty stadium or whatever. Like, you know, Armagh players and the Armagh fans have a really good connection at the minute, because I know after league games last year and championship games even as well, there was a lot of fans streaming onto the field and young people getting photos and autographs. So there seems to be a good connection at the minute with Armagh players and the fans. So hopefully, I would say it's a pressure, but it's not one that they would be turning their nose up at. I'd say they're happy enough with it.
Yeah, James says here, look forward to the old rivalry in the McKenna Cup in a few weeks. Come on, the Red Hands. And Keane says here, Armagh and Donegal to the game promotion. Yeah, Armagh and Donegal will certainly be two of the favourites, in fairness. And like looking at the overall All Ireland picture as well, like, I mean, you've obviously got, I suppose, Dublin, Kerry, and I think a lot of people would perceive Derry maybe as sort of like a top three right now. But, you know, I was saying to a few other people, like, when you look below that top three, you've got a list of counties there, really, that I think on any given day could be anyone. Like, obviously, you saw yourselves be Galway, obviously, in the group stages last year. Monaghan obviously went and turned over yourselves via a penalty shootout. And then you're looking at some other results, you know, the likes of Cork obviously turning over Mayo, and Mayo turning over Kerry themselves in the group stages. So it does seem like below your, the likes of your Dublin and your Kerrys and Derry to a certain extent, that any team can kind of be anyone. So like it does open the door maybe for a, you know, a possible semi-final, and, you know, who knows beyond that, really.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like Monaghan showed last year that, you know, anything's possible, really, getting to the last four and really giving it to Dublin for whatever 55, 60 minutes. So I would agree with you that Dublin and Kerry's out in front, Derry's just below that, and then there's a list of teams that you could probably rhyme off that would beat each other. But I still think it's Kerry and Dublin. I think that's, they're the two best teams at the minute, and who can beat them is the big question. Like if you're coming up against Kerry, you're praying that Clifford has a bad game or doesn't shoot the lights out, and Dublin are just, they're back into their groove again. So I think Dublin, this one meant a lot, winning this one. I think a lot of the players said that after winning the Ireland. So will there be a bit of a hangover from that or anything coming into this year? I don't know. But yeah, I'd agree. They're the top two. Derry's in behind them. And then, you know, you could throw a blanket over the rest of the seven or eight teams.
Yeah, Keane was saying here, Roscommon are dark horses as well. Yeah, most definitely. Definitely. I think Roscommon are definitely part of the pack, in fairness, as well. So I suppose overall then, if you were to predict Armagh's season in terms of league and championship, what would you go for?
Being optimistic, I'll go promotion, an Ulster title, and an All-Ireland semi-final. But I don't know if we'll be putting any money on it yet, but I think that's what Armagh fans are hoping for anyway, I'd say. Winning Ulster, and maybe people feel that the province doesn't really matter anymore because, you know, the Ulster's really the only one left standing, and, you know, going into the group stages, you still have three games to play anyway, whether you win Ulster or not. But I know an Ulster title would mean an awful lot to Armagh fans, and I'm sure to the players and to Kieran McGeaney as well. So I'm hoping that they can get an Ulster title. But yeah, promotion, Ulster title, and All-Ireland semi-final, hopefully. A few big days out in Croke Park again.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, like I was at the Armagh Monaghan game last year, and yeah, some crazy support really from both counties, in fairness. You know, I think there was nearly more Armagh Monaghan fans there than Kerry Tyrone fans, to be fair. I think the Kerry Tyrone game was on earlier, I think. So yeah, it was, you know, mad to see all the Armagh fans up, and I think it would be a good occasion to definitely get them back for, you know, quarter final or semi final again next year. I suppose before you were to finish up, I mean, if you were to predict the All Ireland and a surprise package maybe for next year, I know obviously it's a long way away, but if you were to call it now, who would you lean towards?
Yeah, I'd still go with Dublin. I think Aaron until they're beat, I won't believe that they're not the favourites. Obviously, if Clifford had a better day in front of the posts, maybe the All-Ireland would have been different, but I still think Dublin have the best 15 plus players in the country, so we'll go with them. In terms of a surprise package, I'm not sure who. Maybe Donegal, just with the McGuinness factor. Possibly Monaghan, just because they're so dogged and never say die. They're possibly going to have another big year. And as some of your followers mentioned, Roscommon too. I like Roscommon. I think they're going places under Davy Burke, and they've a good age profile. Enda Smith, after winning his All-Star, maybe hope to push on next year again. So they're possibly one of the teams that can cause an upset or two next year.
Absolutely, yeah. And look, I think as a Dublin perspective, like I didn't really think Dublin would win it last year. I'd probably nearly packed against them for most of the year. So I think I'm all for Dublin definitely winning back to back. But at the same time, like, I mean, as you said, there might be a bit of a hangover there. I think it was, you know, in the same realms as the 2011 All Ireland, but we'll definitely have to wait and see. I suppose your own podcast, The Sideline Eye, where can people find that if they're looking for it?
Yeah, we're everywhere, really. Follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, at The Sideline Eye. The podcast is on Spotify, on YouTube as well, for anybody that likes watching podcasts instead of listening to them. But we're taking a wee bit of a break now, obviously, over Christmas, and we'll be back in the new year for the McKenna Cup, following Cully Hannah's progress in the Intermediate All-Ireland as well. So McKenna Cup game starts, it's the 3rd of January, so we'll hopefully have a preview show in around the 1st or the 2nd of January to kick off 2024.
Great stuff. Well, look, listen, Sean, appreciate you jumping on, and yeah, best of luck obviously for next season in Division 2 and in the Championship as well. Hopefully maybe Dublin will get a crack at Armagh again, maybe put that league defeat right from a couple of years ago, but we'll see. And yeah, cheers to anyone who tuned in to the stream. If you could hit the like button and subscribe, that'd be much appreciated. And we'll chat to you all soon.
Thanks, Arne.